On our broadcast tonight, breaking news as North Korea's leader gives what he calls final approval for a nuclear strike on the U.S. The defense secretary says the danger is now real and clear, and tonight we'll look at what it all means.
Devil government, devil government. This is devil government, period. Devil government.
We as a nation are headed for an economic disaster.
Kerr joins a long list of mass public murders in the U.S.
Molest our families now and microwave us.
How's that sound?
Chicken neck ninnies.
A chilling new warning about terror on U.S. soil. It'll add hundreds of thousands of Americans to the unemployment rolls. This is not an abstraction. People will lose their jobs.
Hey, everyone. This is Carlos Morales. This is the Libertarian Atheist Podcast, found at libertarian-atheist.com, along with many different articles from thinkaboutnow.com. You can always find us on YouTube, along with iTunes and Stitcher. Please make sure to subscribe if you get the chance and share on Facebook or whatever else. So what I wanted to talk about today was this idea that I brought up before on the show, which is outrage porn, or essentially people who are professionally outraged, who make their entire living off of people getting mad. So there's an article I wrote called We Are the Outraged and Offended Generation. Scrolling down your Facebook feed, you stumble upon a cascade of negativity begging for your click. 7 reasons why America is going to hell. 7 reasons why conservatives can't get laid. 6 reasons why Obama is destroying America. 7 reasons why chemtrails, 9/11, Federal Reserves, vaccines, ancient aliens, and Jews are all connected. Each list garners immediate outrage, and it's meant to do so. This is the job of the professional blogger. Every day you open up your laptop and reach out for clicks. You scroll down through the news, seeing what you can generalize, punch up, exaggerate, and put into list form. It's not about giving out the facts. It's about creating the click. Clicks equal ad revenue. Clicks are all that matter. What these people know is that pissing people off will get them to share their article. Nothing makes a man look more self-righteous among his internet peers than a takedown on Facebook connected to the article. A bad article against some topic it's written. A debunking article is written after that, and then an overview of both is written after that. And every site just made money off of our drive to spread the truth. Every article got a share, and they're all playing the same game. Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, feminazis, MRAs, social justice warriors, Confederate flags, Donald Trump. No matter which way you feel about these topics, if the article is flagrant enough, you'll share it. In fact, you're more likely to share it if you disagree with it. If you disagree, you can deliver your own twist to convince everyone how smart you are, and the cycle continues. When a news agency really wants to get your jimmies rustled, they'll add in the word racist, bigots, or homophobes. As a result, conservatives get mad, repost, and state, "So is everything racist now? What the fuck is going on with my country?" And the cycle continues. The easiest way to get traffic is to have one top news site slam another site for their bad news. For instance, Fox News runs a Business Alert episode that makes fun of Caitlyn Jenner. Huffington Post responds with Fox News coverage of Caitlyn Jenner's what transphobia looks like, and then Alex Jones responds with Caitlyn Jenner distracted from Obama Civil War. Mind you, though it may appear that Alex was the only one trying to push us away from the Caitlyn Jenner circus, a quick Google search will show that he's written at least 12 other articles written before that particular article was even written. On the left, the greatest purveyor of this form of journalism is Salon.com. A few examples I found were Breaking Bad, a white supremacist fable. I Was a Troll on the White Dude Bro Internet. The Dark Side of Gaming, Libertarianism, and Guns. Libertarianism is for petulant children. Ayn Rand, Rand Paul, and the movement's sad, quote, rebellion. On the libertarian right, you have Alex Jones, The Libertarian Republic, and LouRockwell.com. Articles include Space Invaders, Feminazis Neuter Male Spread. Race War, Gangs of Blacks Attack Man for Carrying Confederate Flag. Why Are There Fewer Libertarian Women? Because Anarchist Men Are Disgusting, and The Tyranny of Tolerance. Now, I can't completely blame the news outlets for peddling fear, because I know what it's like. I've made YouTube videos called Respecting Others' Beliefs is Bullshit, Trigger Warnings Are Bullshit, and a series of other videos which use the term bullshit, which have since changed. Sorry for that, but it's hard out there for a content producer. the pseudo-outrage articles can end up taking a toll on readers. A toll which prevents actual change in society from occurring. It's called narcotizing dysfunction. It's a theory that as media inundates readers on an issue, they become apathetic to it, and they substitute knowledge for action. Essentially, because a person is sharing terrible information and shaming the original person for writing it, they come to believe that they are helping in the solution. You essentially have a shame death spiral where everybody feels self-righteous, nothing's actually done, and a few media outlets make money. Though this form of internet money-making seems new, the cynical fear-mongering is not. Throughout history, things have continued to get better, and the majority has always thought things were getting worse. Which direction you feel things are getting worse doesn't matter. Whether it's family values, the economy, mortality, or drug use. Because there will always be a news agency which panders to it. Tim Crater, a political cartoonist, explained the thrill of outrage perfectly a couple years ago. Quote, "Outrage is like a lot of other things that feel good, but over time devour us from the inside out. And it's even more insidious than most vices because we don't even consciously acknowledge that it's a pleasure. We prefer to think of it as a disagreeable but fundamentally involuntary reaction to negative stimuli thrust upon us by the world we live in, like pain or nausea, rather than admit that it's a shameful kick we eagerly indulge again and again." Unquote. So how do we stop this? Do we blow up Salon, the Libertarian Republic, Fox News, and Huffington Post headquarters? No, mainly because most of their writers work from their laptops at home. The only way to stop it is by no longer feeding it. That means to stop clicking, stop sharing, and stop commenting. Ostracism, according to many libertarians, is the best way to deter bad actors. Yet it seems that most libertarians don't actually know jack shit about ostracism when it comes to fraudulent people, when it comes to people who lie, that are conniving and manipulative. And I think many times it's because there's so few libertarians out there that they're afraid that that ostracism tool may be used against them sometime in the future. Because when they were kids, or when they were teenagers, when they were adults, they were kicked out of different groups because they had the radical and different beliefs, and they don't want to push it on someone else. It's almost like their empathy gets in the way from doing what is right in those particular situations. And it's relinquishing their ability to think critically and logically in these situations. Because honestly, ostracism is the best way to deter bad actors. And these bloggers are bad actors and run off a bad platform. These articles need to be ostracized because fear and doom attract the fearful, and the fearful don't change the world. Fear led to religion and led to the state, and we must remove its shackles lest we continue perpetually living in a world run by it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure to check out thinkaboutnow.com and subscribe to the Libertarian Atheist podcast on iTunes and everything else. We will be back soon. I actually, thankfully, got an interview with one Vermin Supreme, a presidential candidate. I went to his Vermin Burn, a political rally for him that was, well, a little bit different than, say, a Donald Trump rally. Less so much on the fear-mongering and more on the amazing music and performance art. So it'll certainly make for an interesting podcast. I also have a series that'll be coming out soon, which kind of give my views on Stefan Molyneux's recent migration statements. If you are at all interested, you can check any of the videos he's been talking about in regards to Donald Trump or his RK gene theory to kind of make the case that it is the noble and just thing to do to close the borders. Something that I fundamentally and many other libertarians disagree with, but I think it's important to bring context and clarity to discussion rather than just calling random libertarians racist willy-nilly. So look forward to that, and I will be seeing y'all soon. Bye.